Welcome everyone to our summer special. We've been bashing Daniel Stenberg, Mr. Curl, for his choice of license and so on throughout the series up until now. So we invited him to talk to us. He's been sending lawyers and everything after us, so we needed to bring him on air. Welcome.
Hi.
So, I mean, we can start in the awkward end directly. I mean, everyone says don't invent your own license, and you're fairly successful as an engineer, but why did you invite your license?
Yeah, actually, the sad truth is actually pretty boring, but I could just start from the beginning that originally when I released my first version of Curl in 1998, I released it as a GPL license, actually, and then after just a short while, some of my early users complained when they wanted to use it in some commercial surroundings. And I later relicensed it under the Mozilla public license because I figured that was more closer to what I actually wanted. But that, of course, then only hit me back in the head after a while when people then complained that they couldn't use it in GPL licensed programs. And then I switched to the MIT license, or rather I switched to the MIT license, and actually this is quite sad and boring for you, but I don't actually remember, because I didn't do that extra fiddling of the license text, which is why Curl has a different license, because it was the MIT one originally, but someone changed some of the individual wording in that license. And I don't remember exactly why, or even why I thought that was okay, but we sort of, yeah, it clarified some phrase in there, and I was okay with that at the time. So that's the sad and boring truth. And then we ended up with a license that it's almost MIT, but it's not.
Which cool. Fucks up people like us, where we want to have a nice machine-readable way of white and blacklisting.
Yes, yeah, I know. It exactly. It messes up everything. And a lot of systems where you detect license based on, the exact phrasing of the real license.
So yes. What is your license called then? Is it the Curl license, or what is it called?
I always refer to it as an MIT license, because that's what it is in spirit, and it's sort of 98% MIT wording even, so it's very, very close to the MIT or the one, the original X license, MIT/X I call it sometimes, and I think I call that because it's called that, I think, on the OSI website or somewhere where they sort of. So yes, if you would count words in my license and the original MIT, I guess, something 98-99% of the words are the same.
Mm-hmm. But it's very fun. You touched three things there. So the first one is the GPL and the Mozilla licenses don't really fit. And the GPL does limit the use cases. I mean, Curl is used in embedded devices where GPL might be harder to use, especially GPL v3. But also the changing licenses. Did you have any external contributors that you had to align with, or were you the sole copyright owner?
Well, I think back in those days, I think I was the sole copyright owner, but I still had contributors. So I still wanted everyone to be on board with the change. So I didn't want to be just a ruthless dictator sort of saying, casting my own opinions upon everyone without them being accepted among the crowd. So yes. I felt that I had my users and community with me when I did those changes. And then, of course, I've accepted more and more contributors and more external copyright owners, since we don't really have a policy of assigning copyright anywhere. So we have nowadays have a variety of copyright owners in the Curl code. So nowadays, of course, it's pretty much impossible to change the license. I don't even want to, but it would be a challenge to do that.
So you started out, like, we discussed like open projects on how to be open the other day. And so when did you get people joining in your project?
Almost, I would say instantly, because in my project, well, Curl was a rename from the original, from another name, right? So when I released Curl the first time, I already had a few users. So we basically, from day one, there were other users and contributors who submitted bug reports and patches. So even if that was a very small community, of course, the first few years, so we had... So we had external contributors already in 1998.
Okay. And when was it you had GPL? And I assume GPL V2.
Yeah, it was V2. It was before the V3 existed. So,
but it wasn't V1.
Yeah, yes, but also, I think perhaps a little bit of the explanation for my license journey was also my inexperience with licenses and my sort of immaturity as a person in my own sort of what I wanted with the licenses and how they worked, really. So I think I learned that along the way as well. So maybe if I had just been a little bit more experienced from the beginning, I would have taken it a different route when I started. So it was basically, I picked GPL because that existed and that was what a lot of others did. So I didn't really think about it, I think, enough at the time when I picked it first.
Was there any reaction to when you switched license, or did you switch license from GPL to what was it?
From GPL to MPL.
Oh, to MPL, yeah. Did you get any reaction from the people in the project?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But then again, it wasn't that many users and a small community, so maybe it's sort of, yeah, we all just discussed this and people thought it was my thing to do, so nobody objected. Yeah, that was early. I think it was just after a few months in 1998. I don't remember exactly, but it was sort of, I think it was still 98.
And this was then a switch to MPL, like 1 or 1.1? Or can't remember?
No, I can't remember. I think it might have been 1.1, but I don't remember.
Okay.
So after the change to this, the current license, the MIT style curl license, has there been any, I mean, you said that the change was originally based on people complaining about the license. Has there been any complaining about the current license?
Very little, actually. There are of course people who the only complaint nowadays is that's more if you're a hardcore free software guy and you insist that if you contribute to curl it would limit users' freedom somewhere because you want a free software license, you would rather have it GPL. But I would say that is very rare, and I've never heard it from anyone who actually have contributed or even considered contributed anything significant. More, you know, there are always some complainers in the wings somewhere, but I've never had any, I think, big discussion or serious objections. No.
Mm. All right.
So, given that, I mean, curl is a tool, but it's also a library that's used quite extensively in various devices and other programs and so on. Do you think it has benefited you to have a permissive license rather than a strong copyleft?
Yes, I'm pretty I'm actually strongly convinced that it has benefited the project a lot, since a lot of the early adopters were commercial adopters and they've used it in a lot of places, and a lot of them have contributed maybe not as much as patches, but they have, you know, paid me to do feature things, and they have submitted bug reports and so on. So I think in general, I think overall it has benefited us. It has made it possible for us to get included in operating systems and products that it would never have been part of otherwise.
But
of course, that's my guess. I don't know what would have happened otherwise.
Of course. No. Hindsight is a beautiful thing, I've heard.
Indeed.
Always
indeed.
Construct something. No, but if you look at, let's say that open source or free software is a good thing, then, I mean, having a permissive license has sort of increased the amount of publicly available or open source in the world, despite not being copyleft, so to speak. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think so. Because it allows all those skeptics, those who would be skeptic to free software licenses, they can still use these software products. And sure, then the scare would be that they would just take my code, run away with it, and customize it intensely and sort of make all sorts of fun things and stick to that and never contribute anything back. But in reality, that basically never happens. Because as long as we keep on developing at a fairly sort of high speed and decent pace, and we do things, I wouldn't say good, but or the best possible way, but at least in a way that sort of the most people think is the right direction to do to lead our project, nobody can really compete with us in developing curl. So even though they could take another route and go somewhere else with curl in their own projects, I don't think it has ever happened.
Oh, it depends on how you define that, because I know of a lot of bigger, like Tizen, for example. When you look at them, they fork basically, they fork everything, and then they have this older version, and then they work, if they need to fix something, then they work on that fork. And then it's in their own infrastructure and so on, and it never gets back because of
But if you include that kind of work, then that includes every Linux distro. So every Linux distro works like that. So there are 100, 200, 400 Linux distros, and they all have their own custom patched curl versions because they all run an old version and they backport stuff into their branches. So yeah. That is, and I will also say that there are also probably a bunch of companies out there that have patched curl for their special operating systems or special working conditions, and a lot of those never bother to send back the contributions because they don't think it's worth it for them to help us be better to run on their weirdo systems.
I see.
And maybe in those cases, those custom patches for the custom OSs don't make sense to keep in the mainline either.
Exactly, or at least not in the way they did them. So if they would have to contribute them back, they would have, you know, spend more time and do more testing and polishing up things to be friendly for us. And maybe they don't think that is worthwhile for them.
But I mean, curl runs on quite a few platforms, doesn't it? Even like Amigas and Ataris and stuff.
Yeah. It does, but a bunch of
portable.
It is extremely portable. But in some of those cases, I've just got reports that it runs on that system. I don't know what they did to make it run there, and they never contributed back. Like for example,
you're speaking about Atari now,
right? I'm thinking more like PlayStation 4, for example. Okay. I know that is part of the core OS, but I have no idea what they did to make it run. Maybe they didn't do anything. I have no idea. But that's just a sort of I just assume that they did some patches and adjusted things to make it run proper for them, but they never contributed anything back. So the next person building a PS4 will have to do the job themselves.
You mentioned that you have multiple copyright owners in the project. So has there been any problem relating to that or with a missing CLA copyright license?
No, since we don't do anything with we don't need to have any copyright license or anything. Since we don't change anything, it's fine with having multiple copyright owners. Mm-hmm. We just no, it's never been a problem. We have had some minor instances where we did some mistakes that we had to rewrite code because some copyright owners actually provided stuff under maybe licenses that weren't as clear-cut and wasn't MIT the way I first originally thought it was. So we've had some sort of minor mistakes and glitches, but they were all just fixed along the way. So we have never had any big struggles with that, no. And I own the copyrights for maybe 90% of everything.
On that, how do you find out if a contribution is according to a specific license and so on? That someone didn't like copy code from their work or whatever. I don't know.
I don't. I mean, that is impossible for me to do. But it's other than just reading it seems unlikely that it would happen because it would be really hard for someone to copy stuff like that. But okay, I just have to take everyone's word on what they're contributing, and they have to say, yeah, this is my work, and I contributed that as a contributor to the project. And of course, I don't know if that is actually always true, and none of my users know that I am always telling the truth either. So that's goes all the ways, right?
I'm thinking there are like tools like those Black Duck or Fossology and so on, which do scan code and try to match it to some known code and so on. But I guess curl is not using those tools.
No, not for any purpose like that. No, we don't. I wouldn't even know where to start to even check for that.
Okay. No.
Have I guess we such reports from. I've been in projects using curl having code scans, but I suspect we didn't find anything. But have you gotten reports from such?
I mean, curl is used in a fair amount of places, right? So it's being scanned all the time by all sorts of companies for all sorts of reasons. So I would imagine that if someone found code that they figured was stolen from somewhere else, someone would have told me at some point. So
that's
pretty sure. I know that is not a guarantee. I'm pretty sure someone would have told me. So I think it's, but it's really hard. It's like those bugs and eyeball. All bugs are shallow, but are they really? I don't know if anyone checked for this. I don't know. I think that's a fairly low risk thing. With enough review, enough documentation, you can tell if the contributor actually knows the code. And but I think that the biggest risk is probably that they would submit something maybe that they wrote for themselves, for another company perhaps, or that they wouldn't actually own the copyright for, but we wouldn't find it with a scan, but they could provide it and understand it to us, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
know. That's true, yeah. Interesting, okay.
It's a side story here. We had a discussion when I used to be a teacher at university. I'm not anymore. There was complaints among the other teachers and colleagues that students do too much copying and plagiarism. So I made a script that uploaded to a server, blah, blah, blah. So I checked and sure, there was some kind of plagiarism among students. But a couple of teachers or professors actually had up to 97% of plagiarism on a presentation. And I should probably report that. There you go. By the way, Richard, I don't think Fossology does that kind of scanning.
Okay.
So,
I thought it sends, you sent it the code and it scans it against something.
Yeah, but the problem is what it scans against, right? Because if, like, curl is being used verbatim in a bazillion places as well. So I expect that if you would try that kind of scan, you would find it colliding with itself in a million places. And how would you sort of detect which is the original, which is the copy, and which is legitimate or not? It would be a really complicated scan.
And that concludes the first episode of the summer special. See us for more fun with Daniel Stenberg next week. Take care.